Yeah, fuck off. This is the Padded Room Podcast.
What's up, inmates?
My name is Darian. That's multiple mics.
Should say fellow inmates.
What's up with you, man?
I've been doing a lot of riding these days.
Riding? What do you ride?
Riding stuff.
Oh, I thought you meant like bikes and stuff.
No, well, I took my horse out last night.
Did you?
Went for a long ride. Why not?
Why not? You stole a horse?
No, I did not steal a
horse. You don't own one.
I went out and acquired one.
You bought a horse.
I didn't pay money for it. I paid something else for it.
I'm going to shoot it.
No!
Well,
but no, I've been doing a lot of writing with pen and pad there for a while.
Yeah? What are you writing about?
Stuff.
Are you taking a class or something?
Not currently. I'm on a break.
Yeah? Were you taking a class or something?
MCC.
What? Like creative writing? Journalism?
Well, my journalism class got canceled.
Erotic arts?
Oh, I'd love to take that
class. Is that an actual class? I bet somewhere out there.
It's you and I have our own some little crazy, erotic arts class.
Crazy fucking school. There's an erotic arts class. I guarantee it.
Well, there's like Klingon classes now.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Why not a class on how to give hand jobs?
I wouldn't surprise me. Well, hey now. Maybe not at a university.
I'm sure there's somebody out there with some skills willing to lay down a tutorial for you. Well, I've got myself into another fine mess. Would you like to hear about it?
Lay it on me.
Make a long story short, I have to make out with my wife's best friend.
Oh, I heard.
God damn it.
Here's my only piece of advice, heated or not.
Hmm.
In those moments, do whatever you can to transform her into Daily. It'll pass.
Dude, here's what's happening. We're making another movie.
Yeah.
Got the script from Josh. Josh is coming down here. We're doing this one in Reno. For some reason, he keeps putting me as like the main guy in all these movies. And now I got the first two acts of the script. And I was doing the casting, putting people where they needed to be.
Was that when Josh was down last?
No, that was after that.
You mean since then?
Yeah.
You've been doing... Okay.
Yeah, and I was like, well... My wife's best friend, Jenny, she's like, oh, my God, I would love to try acting. Why don't I just... And I'm like, yeah, sure, you look good. Let me put you in
well,
here.
Well, hey.
She does look good. She's an attractive young lady.
Who can say she doesn't?
And then, so I give her the script, and she's okay with it. At that point, there wasn't anything too bad in it. I think there was one thing where I have to, like, kiss her on the forehead or something like that. But
so a rewrite came?
Yeah, well, we got the final act, and then there's the big action thing, and then... Her character and my character come together and smoocheroo.
Why not just a big old...
This is freaking me out.
Why not just a big old lovingly embraceable hug?
A big fist bump?
You guys can get a little petting going on. Why you gotta make out, Josh?
Oh, this is making me wildly uncomfortable.
Hey, he is the director.
I know.
Do what he says or else.
This is gonna be like making out with my sister, man.
Right.
Oh!
Right.
I could make out with any of my wife's friends except for this one.
Oh, get over it. It'll pass.
It's still freaking me out, man. It's like we're going to start shooting in like 2 weeks, and I'm having nightmares about it. And, her husband is... Everybody thinks this is hilarious except for me. I told my wife about
it. Freaking out about it, dude.
I know. Well, the thing, that's the thing. I'm freaking right out.
Would you like to make out with me in practice?
I don't do smokers.
I haven't smoked in a while. I'll brush my teeth real quick.
Oh, my God. I got to get over it. Anyway, yeah, let's do some stuff here, shall we? We got a little horror news lined up. I got a new iPod. Look at this thing.
Why?
Because my old one took a shit.
Oh, you like that one?
I'm still getting used to it. Everything's different on it, and I'm having trouble finding everything.
It's always that learning curve with new technology.
Yeah, it's a son of a bitch. Here we go. Horror news.
Horror news.
Oh, got a few things lined up. Are you excited at all about the upcoming Stand remake? Did you ever read The Stand? You're the big Stephen King guy. Stephen King,
I don't think I ever read that one, though.
That's a big one, man. That's a fat, fat book.
Yeah, I read his Dark Tower magnum opus, and since then I had to take quite the break from Stephen King.
Yeah, I could imagine why. No Stand, though, huh?
Did you see, I keep meaning to see the movie, but no, not yet.
Okay, you haven't seen it. Well, they're remaking it. This one's going to be 3 hours long and rated R. So that's good.
Now, is The Stand the one with the kids who find the body?
No, that's Stand by Me.
The Stand is the whole otherworldly kind of stuff going on, right?
It's a doomsday plague. Yeah. And then forces of good and evil separate, and then there's a battle.
Maybe I've resisted it because I'd fall in love with it too much.
I never read the book just because I'm intimidated by big things. But I did see the movie. I liked the first half of the movie. Now, the original movie was one of those, made-for-TV adaptations. 4 hours long, that son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. He's known for those.
I liked the first part. After that, I thought it got kind of soap opera-y.
It's kind of how I felt about, what is it, Rose Red?
Yeah, I could see that.
It just lost its momentum there.
I could see that. I liked Rose Red better, though. Well, anyway, this one's going to be 3 hours long and rated R. Josh Boone is the writer, adaptationer, whatever. That's what he says, so that's good to know. In some tragic news, two Wisconsin teens have stabbed their friend 19 times in honor of the Slender Man.
Heard about that action.
What kind of horse shit is this? Come on, man. What are you doing? Slender Man? You know that's fake.
Is it?
Yeah. It was.
How do you know?
Because it was. It became that
documentary, that like fomentary or whatever.
It was like invented as part of a photography contest. You know?
Still, all fiction's based on some fact.
Yeah, there are Slender Men. I'm one of them.
I am not one of them.
That's creepy, man.
Who knows what's out in the woods?
Woods. That's what's out there.
Creatures of the woods.
Yeah, and there might be a slender guy running around. Do you really think he wants you to stab your friend 19 times?
Maybe it's a descent of the old Sasquatch there.
Well, if that's the case, all he wants is beef jerky. And you and your asshole friends to quit screwing with him.
Yeah, Jack Links, maybe.
Messing with Sasquatch.
Oh, classic commercial.
He didn't tell you to stab anybody, you crazy bitch.
Oh, those commercials are great when he just like throws the table. I think there's one where he turns over a car.
Yeah, or he throws a snake into the camper. Good time. Sigourney Weaver wants to do another Alien movie. I don't know, man. I think that franchise might be done.
Did you see the, what's it called? His latest prequel to it?
Prometheus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
Not bad.
I enjoyed it.
A lot of people didn't like it. I'm not sure why.
Haters.
Yeah, as always, haters.
Haters make the world go round.
It's true. Are you like me? Are you Juggalo?
M.
There's a new Twisted video, and it's starring Sid Haig and Kane Hodder. The song is called Sick Man. It's one of these Opus-type videos. You know, they're kind of known for that sort of thing where there's a big story going on. Basically, you have the two of them kind of playing regular guys, sort of, but then they both get abducted by Kane Hodder, who's like half his face is jacked up, and then he abducts them and takes them to Sid Haig's office, where Sid Haig cuts his hand open and bleeds on him.
Interesting. Is this from the trailer?
No. Or so how do you know? This was the whole, I watched the video.
Oh, it's a short video?
Yeah, it's a music video.
Okay. Oh, music video, got it.
Says to be continued at the end. So there's that.
I love those, like, what is it? They used to be called, used to be utilized in the film industry a lot more when you went to the theaters.
Yeah. Serials.
Cliffhangers.
Yeah. I hate that. What was the last, one of the Matrix movies did that. To be continued. Fuck you. I just paid $8 to see this movie. Show me the whole movie, you son of a bitch.
The Matrix was one that deserved a trilogy, though.
Trilogy, sure. To be continued, we get it. We don't need you to tell us you're going to make another movie.
Well, maybe they want us to all to know that they are already in works on a sequel, and just to calm your horses.
Bah!
Horses.
Bah! Or Mr. Peepers.
What's that?
From Saturday Night Live. Chris Kattan. Bah!
Then he licked Will Ferrell's face yep. for a little while.
lastly,
have an apple.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat X trailers are out there. Looks badass.
Oh, you sent me that.
Yeah.
Almost creamed my jeans just watching it.
Coming out 2015, but there's trailers up now on Fearnet and Bloody Disgusting.
It's good, folks.
Yeah, you're going to want to check that out. Been a while since we've seen a decent Mortal Kombat game.
Well, they have, what are they up to, 10 now, you said?
Yeah.
Official ones?
Yeah.
I believe technology, so. I enjoyed every one I've played. Do you ever play that one where you're Liu Kang and the dude with the hat?
Kung Lao?
Yeah.
That was part two.
No, but there was one where you take those two on their own little journey.
No, what was that?
I forget what it was called.
I played the Sub-Zero one.
Oh, I like that one. That was like a Sega Genesis, wasn't it?
Was that 64, I think.
Because I never had a 64 back in the day. But that was a good one. I enjoyed that one.
Side scroller.
I enjoyed that one. Sub-Zero, what a beast.
Solid franchise, right?
I think
Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
It's got steeped in horror roots, I think.
Well, you got the otherworldly elements. You got the horror creatures.
One of them had Freddy Krueger as a playable character. I think it was the last one.
Well, Baraka's almost there.
Yeah, right. But it was, what's his name? Jackie Earle Haley, Freddy Krueger. Not Robert Englund.
Baraka is one of my favorite characters to choose of all
time. I'd probably go Raiden.
We're getting it.
Raiden.
And I'm going to beat your ass.
We're going to put it on the big screen. Ooh. Surround sound. And I'm going to lay an all-day marathon ass-whipping on you.
I see you like to live in a delusional world.
All day long. You come over whenever you feel like it. We'll pick it right up where
we left off. What was that fighting game we played the other day?
Injustice.
Ooh, I whipped your ass in that. What'd you get, one win out of the ten times we played?
How'd you like that?
It's all good.
I beat you once, you son of a bitch.
That's all you need, right?
Let's get into some listener mail. If I can find it on this goddamn thing. Here it is.
Listener mail.
All right, we got the usual emails and voicemails and all kinds of crap. Let's start it off with Kevin, our man in Japan. Subject line, Terradome votes in Spliced. Regarding my picks for the Terradome, I picked more for nostalgia than for who I think will actually win. Thus, my home teams are the Leprechaun and the Critters, classic bad 80s horror franchises.
Little guys pack a wallop.
The Critters did pretty well last year. Leprechaun, not so much. I think he beat Ghostface, and that was it. So there's that.
Two joke of characters there.
Watched a movie called Spliced on Amazon Prime recently. Pretty good film. It's a slasher with some paranormal elements mixed in. Has some cheesy acting for fun. The plot is, a high school girl is obsessed with watching horror movies, despite her parents trying to stop her from watching them, since she has night terrors where she ends up sleepwalking outside. When a new blockbuster horror movie is playing at the local cinema, she decides to go with her friends to see it, then strange paranormal things and unusual deaths start happening surrounding the creature from the film. Terradome votes. By the way, great job with the extended storytelling. Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Konnichiwa, Kevin.
Singles division, Killjoy versus Chrome Skull. I vote for Chrome Skull, not a Killjoy fan. That's two more for Chrome Skull. Could be a blowout. In teams, Predators versus Dust Till Dawn Vampire Strippers. definitely go with the Predators. They've got hunting techniques and superior weapon technology on their side. You got it, man. Kevin, a.k.a. Lonely Bob. Thanks for writing in, Kevin.
Thank you.
That movie sounds familiar. Have you seen that one?
Spliced, it does sound too familiar. I don't think I've seen it, though.
He said Spliced. I started thinking about the one with the naked fucking mutant thing that with Adrian Brody. That was Spliced. That one was called Spliced, too, right?
I think Splice has been used a couple times.
Yeah.
The whole Splice word.
Anyway, there's that. Up next, Sean G., Angry Gnome Comics. Have I sang the praises of Angry Gnome Comics lately?
Do it again.
Well, let's just do it again. Go to Angry Gnome Comics for your horror comic needs, you sons of bitches, if you haven't already.
Or else.
Subject line, It Begins. Padded Room. The first Killjoy movie is rough. I completely agree that they get better as the series progresses. But based on the first movie, I probably wouldn't have bothered with two or three if I didn't get them all in a big multi-pack DVD. I still haven't watched part four, but I am actually looking forward to checking it out. I'm a Full Moon fanboy, so I'll give anything with their logo a shot. I like the Full Moon pictures. They have taken kind of a silly turn of late. Have you seen The Ginger Dead Man?
No, I saw it on Netflix. I never watched it.
Don't.
I wanted to badly.
You don't want to. It came with that. They came with the Evil Bong franchise, yeah, which Dale's in love with.
That motherfucker needs to just smoke weed.
The Terror Dome Begins. Chrome Skull over Killjoy. You got it, Sean. Chrome Skull is still a fairly fresh face, but he's got some badass kills already. Killjoy may be supernatural, but I think Chrome Skull can fight through it. In teams, I have to go with Predators over the Dust Till Dawn vampires. These vampires are way too soft. The Predators would plow right through them. Sean. I think we all agree with you there, Sean. Up next, Irma Gersh. Subject line, Werewolf Armor, Escape from Tomorrow. Blinded by me, you can't see a thing.
Okay.
Any idea what that's supposed
to
mean?
I enjoy it. I think, well, on a metaphysical or abstract element, yeah.
Are you blinded by Irma Gersh?
At times, I find myself blinded by his presence.
Okay. So after hearing reviews on the past couple immersion therapies, I figured this one can't hurt at all. Escape from Tomorrow. All I can say about it, add it, and let the madness begin. Have you heard about this, Escape from Tomorrow?
No.
It's pretty cool. It's a horror film shot in Disney World.
Mm.
Guerrilla style. Nobody knew they were shooting it while they were shooting it. They went in there with like iPads and phones, and that's how they did it. So I'm excited. I remember talking about it before. I'm excited to check it out.
Sounds like some cool beans.
Hit up the old twatter machine and am following you silly Muppets as requested by your own resident madman.
Tweet the show live then.
Yeah, you son of a bitch. We're on there right now. The Werewolf Athletics will be representing this coming weekend at the Heart and Soul Race as we received our armor Thursday. Thank you kindly again, Hollywood, for the gear. We did sign up for the 5K walk/run race. All of us are involved. Look for upcoming picks next weekend. Terror Dome Action Traction. Chrome Skull over Killjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. Never seen Killjoy, but sounds kind of re-re. Predators over the Titty Twister Vamp.
It is very re-re, by the way.
A little on the re-re side. Only good vamp is a Blood on the Hershey Highway vamp. I don't know what that means, but it sounds gross. Okay, that's it for Gersh and his minions eat a bag of dildos. He's a classy guy, that Gersh.
Yeah, you gotta love him.
I tell you. Let's swing it over to Kreese. Kreese coming in a couple of times. Subject line, Terror Dome. I don't think many people will argue with the teams, because realistically a lot of things will beat the Titty Twister vampires. Unless it's Blood on the Highway vampires. So team's vote is for Predators. That one is a blowout, isn't it? As much as I love offensive racial stereotypes, I have to vote for Chrome Skull based on many factors, especially the scenario. In the scenario, Chrome Skull has a support team who run an underground murder show, which they have to hide virtually and physically. So I'm sure in a pinch they can research Killjoy very quickly based on intelligence and cunning. I like the whole bracket setup. That way you don't have to keep up with what round you're in, semi, quarter, or finals, unless you're doing the basketball thing, sweet, elite, final four. But I think I used my sports knowledge for the day. More to come, Crease.
Thank you, Crease.
That's one more for Chrome Skull. Did you get a chance to check out any of the Laid to Rest movies?
No.
Well, in the first one, he's just like your standard slasher, talking about Chrome Skull.
Okay.
The second one has Brian Austin Green in it.
Who's he from?
90210.
Okay.
And in that one, he's got like a network of people that follow. That's how what influenced that particular scenario.
All right.
So I didn't just make that shit up. Crease again, subject line, the general email, because I feel like I can't just send the one. Wait Until Dark is a great film, and I count it as a suspense thriller. If Stephen King saw it in the theater, it may have been very scary due to the gimmick. In the climactic scene of the movie, where the theater dims to the minimal legal requirement, where Audrey's character has broken all the lights to get the advantage over Alan Arkin's character. With the audience energy, that must have been a very tense moment to get swept up in. Yeah, I get it. Have you seen Wait Until Dark?
Nope.
All right, you got Audrey Hepburn, plays a blind woman. These drug dealer thugs type have smuggled some heroin into the country via a porcelain doll, which was handed to her photographer husband once in the airport. So the doll is somewhere in the apartment. Alan Arkin and Richard Crenna come in, and they're trying to get the doll, and she's trying to figure out what the hell everybody's going on, because she's blind. They know she's blind, so they keep coming in and doing like different voice characters,
yeah,
trying to fuck her up.
Sounds very familiar.
It's a pretty good show.
I like Alan Arkin.
Yeah, and he's like 28 in this one.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, he plays a real badass, but he's kind of fun, kind of fruity still. But the overlying thing that I didn't understand is why she didn't just give him the fucking doll. I mean, at a certain point, she's like, okay, everybody's after this doll. Nobody is who they say they are. Well, I better hide it. Why don't you just give him the fucking doll?
Because then there wouldn't have been the rest of the movie.
That's true. That's pretty much it. So Darian might scale a building in Reno. Better represent the pack when you do so, and good luck with that. I freak out jumping onto a 2-foot crate, so that's all you, buddy. I felt a bit challenged by Matt when he said he was worried I got you all to watch some anime horror. As soon as Perfect Blue hits Netflix Instant, that is my assignment. I can't recommend any other anime for horror, not honestly. I saw a show that was anime, and it was kind of horror. It was called, I think it was High School of the Dead. Basically a zombie apocalypse, and then this group of high school kids in Japan.
Mm.
It's anime. It's like 9 episodes long. It wasn't bad. Full of all the weird anime stuff, though. On a political note, the city minimum wage in Seattle and SeaTac, the area around the airport, are going up because the cost of living is ridiculous. For example, my friend's rent for a 1-bedroom, 1.5-bath apartment in North Seattle, not even downtown, is more than my house payment. The people who work there should be able to live there, too. Will email after rewatching Shallow Ground. I remember it being great on the horror scale. That's it for Crease.
Catch you later, Crease.
Thanks for writing in, Crease. Dropping knowledge, that one.
She's known for it.
She is. She's got a lot of good knowledge. She's always dropping it. We got a voicemail here. I think it's Alan.
Padded room, what's up? Pterodome picks. Real easy, Chrome Skull and the Predators. That's all I got. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
Beautiful. Thanks for calling in, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
And we did also have one tweet on the tweeter machine.
Or when was this?
Twatter, if you will.
If you're
Yeah, if you're Irma-gersh. I'm not sure how to... Okay, here we go. From one Thomas Nerwinski.
Oh, hey-o.
At Gracie's Poppy. Forgot to call in. TD picks Killjoy over Chrome Skull.
Mm.
and Predators in an easy victory over the TT Vamps. You got it, man. Thanks for tweeting. I'm going to retweet him. No, I'm not going to retweet him. I'm going to reply to the tweet.
Live?
Live. I just typed lice.
Lice tweeting.
Live tweeting. Thanks for the votes. I'm still new to this Twitter business.
Twitter is one of those things. It's kind of like the Facebook, but it's got its whole other element.
Yeah.
There's this movie I watched recently where one of the guys in it, he's a father, and he sent out a tweet thinking it was a private message to somebody. Get that baby out of my face.
This is what happens. GP tweets me on a regular basis saying how bored he is. I then retweet him. Dirty jokes, and then he fires back with pictures of smiling babies.
Lovely.
So that's how that works. That's it for listener mail and tweets. Why don't we go ahead and get into a movie then, huh? You got anything for any of these?
Carry on.
Okay.
My wayward son.
Movie time.
Grandma, there's somebody here to see you.
I understand you're not feeling well. Tell me what's ailing you.
Hush, baby. Don't say
it. It's getting worse.
What's going on here?
Oh, God. Are you okay? My grandma's gone.
Ever been roaming around up here before?
Do you hear me?
What?
Nothing. What's wrong?
What the hell was that?
Alrighty,
beautiful.
We're talking about Infected from 2013, starring Christy Romano, Michael Madsen, and William Forsythe. This movie's rated R. It's written and directed by Glenn Ciano. Okay, I get it. I mean, it's a pretty short-sighted story. It's basically what you have. Your movie starts with a very frantic scene of some people in what appears to be a cabin. And some zombie-like dudes trying to break into the cabin. You know, they're coming.
Horde's coming, yeah.
Yeah. We get a very frantic, you know, shotguns and board up the window, and somebody got bit, and oh my God. And then we cut back to 12 hours earlier. So our real story picks up with what appears to be two old army buddies getting them and their kids together for a hunting trip. They've got this secluded cabin out in the woods. The hunting buddies are played by William Forsythe and Michael Madsen. What the fuck was going on with William Forsythe's hair? Platinum blonde and permed and almost jerry curled.
He was a fucking surgeon, dude. He has to look good for his patients.
You call that looking good?
I do.
If I was having surgery and that dude came at me and then he had like the weird handlebar mustache
thing. I would lay back and take it.
I would not. I would threaten to call the police. You're not coming near me, Dr. Whoever. Anyway, as Mike alluded to, William Forsythe is a surgeon. Michael Madsen, I don't think we ever really found out what his job was.
No, but he's definitely got the leader quality.
Yeah, he's, I don't know, maybe he's just a ne'er-do-well or something. Anyway, they're getting together. Now, their kids are all a bunch of weirdos. Michael Madsen has the one son, and he just does not want to be there. He doesn't want anything to do with this. He's more into smoking cigarettes and being depressed, I think. William Forsythe has like three or four kids, right? He's got the one son who always texts. He's got the hot daughter that takes pictures of everything. And then there's another kid who I think is, he's kind of into hunting, but I don't know. He's just not into spending time with his dad.
Is he the one with the camouflage jacket?
I think so. Seth, I think his name was.
Who was shooting the targets with the
globe, out in the middle of the night, smoking weed. All right, whatever. That's what you want to do. Anyway, we spend the first, 20 to 25 minutes getting the weird dynamic of this group. The hot photographer daughter kind of wants to bang Michael Madsen's son. She keeps taking him out in the woods to talk about ex-girlfriends and things like that. And in the middle of all this, we get a cut to a very hot prostitute who takes a nerdy guy out in the woods to bang him. She had a banging body.
I said a little cheer when she got killed, though.
Why? She was hot. I was hoping she'd survive. She had a nice rack.
What do you mean, why?
I'd like to see more of her.
For all I care, she could fucking go to hell.
Somebody doesn't like
women. Not a bad body. I'll give you that.
Somebody doesn't like women today.
He was looking to get, and then he had to go potty.
Yeah. That's the worst, right? I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to take my clothes off. Okay, goodbye. What the hell? Dude, you already paid for it. You might as well.
Well, she hadn't started taking her clothes off until he left.
I know.
Left the audience with that action.
Yeah. Still pretty hot, though. Anyway, we cut back to our families. Now, I guess it's a neighbor girl or something that has the sick grandma. Because they're in a different house, right?
I just figured it was grandma to one of the guys there.
I kind
of
felt
mother to one of the guys there.
I kind
of
felt like they were in a different house.
Madsen or Forsythe. I don't know. Maybe it was. I need to watch this movie again if I want to completely get it.
But. Well, I'm not. I watched it. You know, I paid attention, and I don't. The biggest problem I had with it was that I couldn't tell the relationship of all these people. You know what I mean? You got a lot of fucking people in this movie, and they're just kind of coming and going and yelling at each other, and you just have to assume that they're related or not related. Or I don't fucking get it. Anyway. Somewhere on the premises here, or in the immediate vicinity, there's a young lady with a very sick grandma. Now, the grandma is infected with this plague.
Did we see her get bit?
No, she's already sick at the onset.
Yeah, we see a few people get bit, though.
William Forsythe, being the surgeon, offers to take a look at her. He goes up there, kind of, you know, makes a few recommendations. While he's there, she bites him in the hand. He goes out. They go about their hunting trip. The two kids, Michael Madsen's kid and William Forsythe's daughter, they go off to, well, they're about to fuck, but they never do. They find some deer eating some squirrels. Now, that's problematic because apparently deer don't eat squirrels.
Grazing animals don't eat other grazing animals.
Right, which I don't know if that's true or not.
It is true.
It is it?
Unless they're infected.
Go, well, of course. So the deer has to be infected. I think they gave the big explanation that the infection started with, like, deer lice or something like that. You remember that? No. Anything about that? All right. So that's kind of creepy. They go hauling ass back to the cabin. While the rest of the group is out actually hunting, they do manage to bag a deer. Was
that
when
they heard on the news radio or the radio station or something like that? How did they get that information?
Yeah, I think it was from the radio, but okay, I don't think that comes in until after the big panic button.
Right.
They go back to the cabin. They're cleaning the deer that they just killed, and William Forsythe, being the punk ass that he is, kind of like sprays blood on one of his kids, gets him right in the eye. That's no good. At this point, the two army pals kind of separate and go off to get drunk. The kids, the three main kids, which is cell phone text guy, depressed guy, and hot photographer chick, they go off into a different room, and they're going to play cards and get hammered, too. Naturally, guy that doesn't want to be there and hot photographer chick just want to fuck. So they tell cell phone guy.
He tells go get some
wood. Go chop some wood or something. So he goes out in the woods. He gets attacked by one of these infected dudes and kind of gets drug off into the woods.
I thought he got attacked by the grandma at that point.
Oh, that's right, because the grandma just kind of walked off. Maybe an hour. Because the grandma just kind of walked off, and they were all out looking for him. So they go out. They hear the cell phone guy screaming. They go out to see him kind of get carried off by somebody. Now they're all screaming, so that brings the army buddies out. Now we are missing a kid, so that's kind of fucked up. We kind of organize a search party to go find him. Once we do, we get out there and people get separated and, different little packs of infected guys attack certain members of the group. William Forsythe has been infected because he got bit by Grandma. So the signs of his infection are kind of escalating. He's starting to deteriorate mentally. But he makes allusions to, if you can somehow maintain your humanity during the infection, you can kind of control it a little bit.
Well, there's always that control factor. With any of these infected movies, there's that theme where you can control it for a while, but eventually it's going to consume you.
Yeah, I mean, some more severe than others. So at this point, shit is starting to hit the fan because we're starting to realize that this is happening on almost, well, not really a global scale, but it is becoming a bigger problem than just the problem of the cabin in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, Michael Madsen's wife shows up and she's pregnant. And I think she was just there to drop some supplies off, but she tells him that, the closest town has been overrun and there's infected everywhere and they need to hunker down. So they kind of build up defenses around the cabin, board up the windows and the doors and all that shit. So that's looking good for now. And then really from this point forward in the movie, all we have is different survival elements. They get in. They bite a couple people. They get out. Some other dude shows up. He's been bitten, but he isn't full on infected yet. That big fat guy with the weird goatee. That just kind of goes on and on. Eventually, all the survivors get whittled down to Michael Madsen's I Don't Want to Be There son and Michael Madsen himself. They manage to get out, and then we get kind of like an epilogue where they build some kind of a super vehicle.
Love that vehicle.
What was it?
I forget what they called the war tank. No, the
war wagon.
War wagon, something like that.
Yeah, it was reminiscent of the minivans from Dawn of the Dead. Mm. Had the big dozer blade on it and
things constructed to it.
Yeah, chainsaw slats. So that's pretty cool. They managed to get out of there, and then I guess from there they find that this whole thing has happened on an actual global level. Entire cities are vacant. They go from town to town looking for survivors and supplies, and they've kind of built up this little community. It's like a army base or something like that.
Some safe haven.
Yeah, where they've got guards posted and, life is kind of getting back. They've got doctors and stuff. And then we find out that Michael Madsen's son actually kept the hottie photographer chick because apparently she was pregnant.
There's a little bit of credits that roll before this. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like a postscript thing.
Yep.
There's some things I didn't understand though. Why was Michael Madsen's feet shackled?
I didn't notice that.
Well, remember when he's walking through the cemetery and he's doing the voiceover and he finds the grave of his wife,
he got bit.
When did he get bit?
You don't remember that? He got bit.
Did he get bit?
Yeah.
When?
I can't remember exactly when, but I remember seeing him get bit.
All right. I'll buy that. So that's pretty much your movie, man. I mean, I don't really call this a zombie movie. It's in the realm of the 28 Days Later Infected, just not nearly as cool.
Did you say in the realm of the zombie movie?
Yeah.
No, that's why it's called Infected, not Zombie.
No, I mean, I know. That's why I said it's in the realm, you asshole. Pay attention.
Realms are crazy like that.
They're crazy.
Right?
The way of the realm, my friend. But I don't know, man. I mean, it's not bad. I just felt like there were too many people.
A lot of action going on. A lot of characters. A little too many characters, in my opinion, too.
And you had the one guy that got infected, but he was, like, yelling at his ex-wife on his cell phone. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, I'll take her where I want to take her.
He was already infected, and she gave him...
The daughter.
The daughter.
Yeah.
And that's whose spine that was, right? Is that what we're supposed to get?
I imagine. It was way too big to be the spine of that daughter,
right?
Though.
That conversation on the phone, though, that he was having when he was infected with the...
I'm going to get a better job. You just fuck off.
Yeah, I fed her. She's eating right now.
She's taking a bite.
She took one bite.
Now she's taking another bite.
Take another bite.
She doesn't want to talk to you, okay? Fucking weirdo. I don't know, man. What do you think of this movie, Mike?
The moments of it made me mad.
Like what?
Like the prostitute.
I thought she was awesome.
I had little ins and outs there. Hey, look, a lizard. I liked a lot about it, though.
Like what?
The end. I like the Michael Madsen's little monologue at the end there.
Yeah.
Speaking about how he had a father to protect, or he had a son to protect.
Right.
He wanted to do his fatherly duties and all that jazz, and hopefully they have an antibody or an antibiotic in a safe haven.
Yeah, they had doctors there working on or something like that. It's really just I felt like this was kind of Night of the Living Dead, but not as good.
Just thought it was just another infected movie.
It's nothing just another really people in a cabin trying to ford off.
If waves you break them all down,
I mean that's really all there is to the story, right? You got people in a house, other people trying to get into the house. They're trying to keep those people out of the house. That's about it.
Invaders versus infected.
That's what it is, dude.
Or sometimes the infected are the invaders.
Yeah, that's how it works.
But. Segue into our Terror Dome.
I got a kill count of 4 on this one. I say, if you want to see William Forsythe with some really nutty hair,
it's classic, man.
This is the way to go.
Classic image right there.
You could tell he just didn't have much interest in being in this movie either, I think.
Well, I think he did okay. His talk with his son about survival there, I like that too.
Yeah?
When he was walking up to Madsen, wherever Michael Madsen was.
Yeah.
He was talking to his son. You know, there's certain things that that fathers feel like they got to pass on to their kids.
Yeah.
Talks like that really hit me.
All right. I'll buy that. That's all I got on Infected from 2013. You got anything else, Duder?
Watch it if you feel like seeing another Infected movie.
If you want a better version of this, watch 28 Days Later.
There are better versions. More money probably produced into those movies.
Yeah.
But, it wasn't horrible.
No. Let's take a break, dude.
All right.
Thank you.
And we're back. Before we get into the Terror Dome, it's time for the Padded Room Twitter follow of the week. I'm thinking either Michael Madsen or William Forsythe. How say you, multiple mics?
Hop on that Madsen train, baby.
Michael Madsen? Let me see. Let me sort through the...
Give me that later, no?
Pictures of smiling babies.
Come on! How hard is it going to be to find them?
Let's see here, Michael.
Love your shirt, by the way.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Ooh, Michael Rooker. Matt.
Who's Michael Rooker?
Earl from The Walking Dead. Matt, Merle, not Earl.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Madsen. Michael Madsen poetry?
Oh, beautiful.
This is Follow official that and action. Only authorized Twitter page for the actor Michael Madsen, yes! The poet.
Yes!
The complete works of Michael Madsen. I don't know about that.
Come on!
Should we do it? We're doing it. Michael Madsen poetry.
What are the classes I'm taking next semester is writing poetry.
Just Michael Madsen poetry.
I wish it was Michael Madsen poetry.
Michael Madsen poetry, you're the Padded Room Twitter follow of the week. Congratulations. He's going to be so excited to hear that.
Yeah, right? If he ever hears
Maybe he could write a poem about
Come on, us. Michael. Write us a poem.
That's so weird. All right. Let's get into the Terror Dome there. This is the Terror Dome. First things first, last week's winners. In singles combat, we had Terror Dome versus Killjoy. And the story resumes. If Killjoy hadn't been so preoccupied with Tamika, he might have heard the explosion that destroyed his ice cream truck. He might have seen Chrome Skull lurking in the shadows behind Tamika. He might not have closed his eyes in anticipation of a final kiss. If he hadn't, he would have seen Chrome Skull silently decapitate her and press the lips of her severed head against Killjoy's, robbing him of her soul and banishing him from our reality forever. With a vote of 12-0. Oh, I'm sorry, 12-2.
Didn't, yeah.
Chrome Skull advances over Killjoy.
Well, GP threw Killjoy.
He did.
A vote there.
And in teams action, we had Predators versus the Titty Twister Vampires. The story resumes. They came for the skull of El Scorpio, but found something much more valuable. A new species of human that was far superior to the previous Earth prey. The skulls with elongated canine teeth would bring twice the glory to the trophy racks. With a score of 14-0, Predators advance over the Titty Twister Vampires.
What you got there? Some train killers.
That's true, man. They don't call them Predators for nothing.
Right.
This week's matchups. You want to go? You wrote one this week.
I did.
You want to go first or you want me to?
You want me to lead us off?
Go ahead.
All right. I was given, was it Home Invaders versus Infected?
Correct.
And I ran with her. Ready?
Go.
In a remote area roughly an hour north of Great Falls, Montana, lived the Forrest family, Mr. and Mrs. Forrest. Up there, they have quite the pristine mansion to reside. Top-of-the-line security system is Mr. Forrest's pride and joy. Cameras, booby traps, quick-locking steel windows and doors to boot. You know, just in case shit decides to hit the fan. On June 13th, 2009, shit decided to do just that. It was a quiet night, quieter than most other nights. The Forrests heard a knock at their door. Mr. Forrest, arriving on his side of the door, asked, "Who is it?" "Yes, I'm searching for my Alice. Have you seen her?" Before Mr. Forrest could reply, the most sinister giggle was heard. He opened the door in search of seeing what Crazy looked like, but nobody was there. The Forest had a fairly restless night that night. The next day was going well enough, and then the sun went down. Eventually, that terrifying silence returned. The most quiet quiet you had ever heard. It was like all the creatures of the woods knew something was about to go down, and they were all patiently waiting to see what was about to transpire. Mr. Forrest was in the control room when the doorbell rang. He glanced over at the monitors, and creep hit his bones. Staring back at him were two evil masks, one a clown, the other a bunny. Soon enough, the masks parted, and a long blonde-haired man came strolling towards the camera. He was wearing a business suit, and you could tell the suit had seen better days. "Listen, Mr. Forrest. We know what you're hiding in your basement. We have been hired to retrieve it, and we'll stop at nothing until our mission is accomplished. You can hand it over, or we can do it the hard way." "Fuck you," was the homeowner's reply as he slowly clicked off the monitors. This division of troops, if you will, was hired by a pharmaceutical company. Mr. Forrest used to work for said company, but one day decided to turn rogue, steal some supplies, and move to the Montana woods. In his basement was a lab consisting of the stolen supplies. He was currently working on a rage serum of sorts. And his experiments went a little haywire. And now holding cells were also utilized in his basement. Inside the cells held the most twisted, ungodly, infected beings known to man. The home invaders had no trouble getting around Mr. Forrest's pride. I'm going to start over.
All right, man.
Yeah. Take two.
Okay, go.
The home invaders had no trouble getting around Mr. Forrest's pride and joy, and eventually Mr. and Mrs. Forrest found themselves dead. As he entered the basement, the long blonde-haired leader of the troops found one of the true faces of horror. One of the invaders accidentally pressed an errant button, and in the blink of an eye, the holding cell doors were unlocked and swung open. The growls heard were surely the definition of hunger. The home invaders were not entirely surprised by the infected, as they had anticipated such actions taking place. The leader pulled out his high-tech gun with the special bullets loaded and ready to go, fired one shot at what he thought was the leader of the infected. This infected dropped quickly to the floor. However, the infected were supremely quick, and the leader of the invaders found he was losing his comrades at an alarming rate when 5 seconds was about all it took for a couple of the infected to pounce on a couple of the human mates. A couple of the infected to pounce on top of a couple of the invaders. How about that?
Got it.
Without a doubt, a battle was poised and ready to take place.
That's it?
Yeah.
Round two, Inferno Conference, Infected versus Home Invaders. I am probably going to go Infected because Home Invaders, a lot of what they do is more psychological. A lot of cutting the power, a lot of sneaking around and killing one dude and then leaving him somewhere for everybody else to find, freak True. You out. Infected don't give a shit
True,
about that.
True, but in this scenario, these invaders are prepared for that. They have weaponry to take these guys out, so they got that going for them.
Yeah, I'm going to go Infected on that one. How say you?
Me too.
That's two for Infected over the Home Invaders. Let's swing it over to singles action, shall we? The closet was dark, damp, and deadly silent. Her mom put her in there all the time, but she could never get used to it. She closed her eyes and put her head in her hands, trying to think of better times and better places. Then that voice came creeping in. 3 weeks ago, during a school field trip to the local museum, Carrie White used her gifts to smash a priceless statue of an ancient god named Ahura Mazda. The tour guide had given her a snicker when she asked a question. She wouldn't be snickering in the unemployment line after the incident with the statue. From that day forward, she'd suffered repeated visits from the stranger. Well-dressed and with a voice that could melt butter, he started showing up everywhere. At school, in her dreams, and sometimes she would just hear his voice in her head. He explained that he had been imprisoned in the statue for hundreds of years. He said that he was honor-bound to grant her 3 wishes for setting him free. Anything she wanted. The suffering of Sue Snell, the love and adoration of Tommy Ross, they could all be hers if only she asked. Mother had told her stories from the Bible of such beings. The wishes get granted, but then run afoul and backfire on the wishers. Carrie asked the man to leave her alone, but he wouldn't. At one point, she even used her gift to fling him up into the air as far as he would go. When he landed, she was sure it would be in a different state and in a puddle of his own blood and guts. But sure enough, there he was outside her bedroom window later that night, not a scratch on him. Round 2, Inferno Conference, the Djinn versus Carrie White.
Nice.
Now, normally, I've said it before, Carrie White is a nuclear bomb.
Well, yeah, she was my pick for singles last year. Not in my pick initially, but as it went on,
yeah,
I was rooting for her to win it all.
I got to vote for the Djinn on this one. This is right in his wheelhouse.
True.
You've got a desperate young lady that doesn't fit in. All she wants to do is be normal. She's not. He can make her normal. He's got the power to do so. All she has to do is ask. I think she asks.
You think she asks to be normal?
I think she asks to be normal, asks to fit in with the girls at her high school.
Why would she give up this gift that was given her?
She never asked for it.
True, but now that she knows how powerful it can be.
Yeah, but I mean, how is that going to win the heart
of... So you think it's just going to be a nice, mellow story?
Yeah.
Carrie says, I want to be normal, and they go their separate ways.
It's not going to be normal, because once she asks for the wish, then the djinn can bring about the end of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Carrie's out of the fight
right
away.
Yeah.
All right.
So this is more of a mental battle.
I don't think Carrie's going to ask to be normal.
I think she would. I think she would. She may not ask to be quote unquote normal. She might ask for a regular mom. Her mom is a nutbag.
Well, she could run away from home, dude.
That's not an
find her own.
That's
mom.
Not an option.
Find her. Yeah.
In those situations, that's a controlling type relationship. It's a slave and master system.
Her mom is an issue in her life. And she needs to find a new mom.
Yeah, and that's probably
she'll take it on herself to go find a new mom.
Or maybe she'll just ask the djinn
to find herself a new mom.
And boom, your mom's fixed. She's not a nutbag.
You
want
to ask a djinn.
She doesn't know he's a djinn. Well, she does, but I don't know. I'm taking the djinn, you son of a bitch. You going Carrie White?
I am.
Fuck off.
Fuck you.
That's one for Carrie White, one for the djinn. You know the djinn's going to win.
All right, if you say so. If you fucking say so, you douche.
You doucher. So the vote stands at 2 for the infected, 0 for the home invaders, 1 for Carrie White, 1 for the djinn in singles action. Get us your votes, inmates, by next Sunday if possible. As usual, the mental health hotline is 206-309-9117, or you can email us at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com, or you can tweet us them votes. Follow us on Twitter @paddedroompod is what you want to do. Your votes, as usual, will count as double, so there you go. You got that going for you. That's it in the Terra Dome. Let's swing it over to Immersion Therapy. Did you get a chance to watch the Immersion Therapy?
Nope. Want to know why?
Why?
You're a dick.
How am I a dick?
Talk about it later.
All right.
If you don't remember.
It's not my fault.
Immersion Therapy.
So we watched Shallow Ground from 2004. Not a bad show. There is one glaring inconsistency, though. Basically, the premise of the show is anybody who's died under mischievous or somewhat malignant circumstances, comes back from the dead to get revenge on whoever caused their death. When they come back, though, they're just kind of catatonic, and they're naked, and they're covered in blood, and they just kind of meander around whoever wronged them and cause issues that way. Kind of nutty. The biggest problem I had with this movie, it's not a bad show, but the biggest problem I had with the movie was, okay, you've got a cop who failed to capture a serial killer. Said serial killer's victims come back to harass the cop. The serial killer is actually an old lady down the street from the cop. Why wouldn't they just go harass her? She's the one that killed him. Right?
I see what you're saying.
That doesn't make any sense. If that's the premise you're going with, is that these people were wrongfully made dead, then why would you not go after the one who killed you instead of just the cop who failed to capture the one who killed you?
Did there develop some sort of signs of ulterior motives or anything shit like that?
No, just naked dead people. Naked bloody dead folks hanging out. It's not a bad show. It's kind of conceptual. It's kind of low budget. I mean, you could tell, but it's still not bad. I say check it out. 2004. Apparently, Kreese watched it. She thought it wasn't bad. Your immersion therapy for this week, as requested by Irma Gersh, is Escape from Tomorrow from 2013. Heard a lot of good... well, I guess GP has some kind of a problem with it, but other than that, I heard a lot of good things about it.
This is the one Disneyland?
Yeah, Disney World.
Can't wait to see that one.
Sounds interesting. Check that shit out if you get a chance. Let's get into some what... Oh, ow. Hey, yo. Let's get into some what are you looking at?
What are you looking at?
Is it just me? Oh, okay. I got a chance to watch a few movies this week. You're Next from 2011. Mike, you seen You're Next from 2011?
Yep.
It's a good show. Adam Weinberg stars A.J. Brown. Ty West makes an appearance. He doesn't last too long.
I wanted to see it, though.
It's a good show. I got it on Blu-ray.
Check it on. It's not on Netflix, you know?
I don't believe so. I haven't looked, though, because I got it on Blu-ray. Pretty good stuff. You're going to want to check that out. I've seen it before. Also, Cold Sweat from 2010. Argentinian film. Kind of a Saw, but with more of a social commentary.
Okay.
I tell you what, my friend. You want to meet some hot young ladies? Go to Argentina. Because there are...
I hear they got some good ones down
there. They got them down there. They got a few, from what I can tell. basically, you have these two old men that are kind of fed up with the way that society's going. So they kidnap hot young ladies via Facebook or some other social network. They have this whole ruse going where they have like pictures. They basically catfish them.
Right.
And they get them over to their house. Then they capture them and they smear them with nitro. So if they move at all, they'll explode. I don't know if the physics support that or not. But then they make them do like math problems. And learn vocabulary
so
words.
So they become their tutors or...
Kind of.
They're hired math slaves there?
Pretty much. Pretty much. They make them, like, learn stuff. Like, there's one rant that the dude goes on where he's like, I know the definition of 150,000 words. Most people your age only know 200 words. So he makes her learn a bunch of words. Smeared in nitro. Kind of weird. Anyway, this guy's girlfriend, he thinks that she left him because she got catfished by this guy. Mm-hmm. So his other friend, who's another hot young lady, he gets her to go in there and he kind of follows her and that's ends up rescuing the original girlfriend and the young lady, both smoking hot chicks. Pretty good stuff there. A little on the torture porn side. That's all I'm looking at. You looking at anything this week, Mike?
Finally got around to watching Apocalypse Now all the way through.
Oh, wow.
From start to end.
Yeah.
What a fucking journey, dude.
Yeah, right?
How long has it been since you saw that one?
High school.
Yeah. Oh, you should check it again.
What is that coming in at? Run. Like 2 hours and 45 minutes?
It's long.
Something like that?
Take a break here and there.
Yeah.
Go
get something to eat.
A little snack.
Go to
pee-pee.
Go to work.
You go to work, come back. Yeah. Because it takes a lot to get through this movie. There's so many, so much shit thrown at you.
Yeah, yeah. It's just
heavy shit. Heavy. And I remember you threw the concept at me a while back about, you know, define horror. Define what horror means. Horror can mean different things to a lot of people. And I'm sure there are people out there that find this film very much a horror film to them.
Yeah, I could see that.
It spoke to me on a lot of different levels.
As I recall, there was a lot of kind of kickback from the Vietnam vet community when it came back, it first came out. When did it come out? 78?
70, late 70s, I want to say. 78, 79. But if you haven't seen it, basically you got this soldier who's dying to get a mission. They finally give him a mission, top classified mission. Don't speak of it.
1979.
Ever. Don't speak of it ever. Kind of a...
2 hours and 33 minutes.
Yeah, it's a long one. So he gets this top classified mission, don't ever speak of this, where he has to go kill one of his comrades who's basically gone insane. At least in the eyes of some. But he's been living in the jungle. How are you not going to go insane?
You do.
You're right?
Yeah. I mean, my longest stint was 43 days. And that was in NTA. That's North Training Area in Okinawa, Japan. Mm. Fucking thick. You can't even turn around without getting caught on stuff and losing your gear. It weighs down on you pretty quick.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And then on top of that, I mean, I don't know what Vietnam's like. I've never been there. But over there, Japan, rains like 3 days out of the week. If you're lucky, sometimes it just rains straight fucking through.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get pretty miserable pretty quick.
And plus the conditions surrounding the whole fucking shit.
Yeah, and that was just training. That was like real combat. Right. So that's a whole other set of crap right there. I get it, man. Now. Good
it,
show.
I threw it into my top five. It is now officially number four.
It got thrown in.
On my top five. I forget which one I threw out. But it is now in my top five.
Give me the top five.
You want to hear it?
I haven't heard the top five.
Should I go in ascending order?
Okay.
Number five.
And number five.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
Johnny Depp.
Oh, you and the goddamn Depp.
I'm going to have me a Deppapalooza one of these days, and you're invited.
You're going to get Depp.
I want to get Depp. Number five, A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right.
Number four, Apocalypse Now.
Okay.
Now.
Right now.
Number three, go with the Boondock Saints.
Yeah.
What's your issue?
Overrated. It's not that good, man. Really, it's not. It's not that good.
Irma Gersh, where you at?
Yeah, Gersh.
I know he's backing me up on this. It's good.
It's not that good. It's not.
Well, I mean, you got against Vigilante Justice.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's just the movie itself is not that great. You didn't like
the way they portrayed they brought it about?
No.
All right, fine.
There's a lot of dumb moments.
Well, there's a lot of dumb moments in any movie if you want to look for them.
Well, yeah. I mean, all right, whatever. Number three.
Number three, Boondock Saints. Number two, The Shining.
I knew it was on there.
Yeah.
I knew it was in there somewhere.
Kubrick, baby.
Yeah.
Number one, The Big Lebowski.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I should have saw that one coming too. Right on, man. Anything else you watch this week? Did you go to the library and get some more Hitchcock?
I haven't finished the Hitchcock collection I got yet.
Okay.
I did watch Donnie Brasco.
That's a good one.
It is a good one.
You are just depth in your face, aren't you?
I felt like I needed to get depth. Felt good.
You're gonna OD.
Brasco may be my favorite Johnny Depp movie.
Over Depp. They're gonna find you dead. You're gonna be wearing a fedora in like 12 scarves.
On my death certificate, it's gonna say
over Depp. What the hell happened to him? Too much Depp? You gotta space yourself. You gotta space it out.
Moderate, folks.
Oh, if we'd gotten to him any sooner, we would have caught him in the pirate hat.
He had a chance, but he got overdipped. Another episode of Fargo. Watch that one.
Yeah.
Then we got one more, and they said it's the finale.
Right on.
It didn't say season finale, too. I had a feeling it was going to be like a miniseries.
Mid-season finale? Or oh, you think this is it? Oh, all right.
Well, it's a true story.
Yeah.
How are you going to take it on forever?
Take the characters. Run with them.
But then you got to... The way they set up the beginning, they do this. True story back in... Was it 96 or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
To the survivors, names have been changed.
Mm-hmm.
In respect to the dead, everything else is exactly how it happened. So I don't. I'd rather it be a miniseries. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind seeing the Billy Bob Thornton
continuation of
continue
the story.
His sinister character.
Yeah.
Oh, Billy Bob.
Right on.
But yeah, another one locked in there, and I saw that. Dude, you got to watch this.
I will. One of these days. Yeah. I watched Penny Dreadful. Took a gay turn. I don't mean that as derogatory. I mean...
It could be a good thing.
Josh Hartnett and Dorian Gray. So there's that. So there's that for you. Alrighty, let's get into some werewolf action.
Company of Wolves.
Alrighty, weather's getting warmer. I got about, I only got like 13 miles this week. What have you been up to, man?
Was that about a mile I did yesterday?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's yoga, though. You've been doing the yoga classes.
I am. It kicks my ass. I push it.
Really? On the yoga?
One of the things about the yoga I'm starting to learn, some people...
Are you going to a class?
At the studio.
Is it hot in there?
Yeah, I heard sweat.
I heard they always turn the heat up.
I get a great sweat.
They always turn the heat up in those places.
But I push it, and I think it may disturb other people's yoga session from time to time.
What are you, like, screaming in there?
No, but there's grunting from me. Just, you know, I want to get... And that, you know, part of the yoga is relaxing. And so I don't want to disturb anybody else's yoga session, so I may turn it back a notch next time.
Do an extreme yoga.
And then there's always a session where you basically just...
What's the hardest pose that you've done? Standing tree? The
hardest pose is... No. I don't know. We don't get into all those poses.
Oh, okay.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah. And then you. I don't know anything about yoga. I'm just going off of what I did on the
hardest Wii Fit. One probably now can be... It depends on what you do leading into it as well.
Okay.
Plank position is one of my harder ones.
That's where you get up on your elbows?
It's basically starting off a push-up position.
Yeah. How long are you holding these poses, I suppose? You just wait until she says move?
Maybe 15 seconds.
You got a guy yoga?
Yeah, Zach.
How big of a douche is he? Be honest.
I love him.
Really? Does he carry his yoga mat like an archer sling? Everywhere he goes.
No, I wish he did. That'd be awesome.
Because if I see him, I'm going to pull it off him and smack him with it.
Why?
Because I'm...
You got something deep inside you that just wants to do
just
that?
Just wants to tell you to not be a yoga douche.
Whatever. So 15 seconds maybe for different holds. And then you progress in a different stance or different position. There's always... I have a hard time with it though because sometimes... Logan, I go meet Logan, and we do stuff together in my imagination.
Okay. I heard that doing yoga can, like, get you high and put you in weird
mental... Yesterday, I took him fishing, taught him how to fish.
Yeah?
We went on a journey, went to the bait store, got some fucking bait, and taught him how to tie a proper fisherman's knot,
uh-huh.
Bait the hook. It was very special.
I think you just ruined yoga for me.
Good.
I don't think I'll
Stay
be doing
the fuck away from.
I don't think I'll be doing yoga ever. Congratulations on that. Not that I had any plans on doing it to begin with. In the meantime, inmates, I think that's about a wrap. Everybody got their shirts, so that's good. We're doing good with that. Get us your Terradome votes by next week, as usual.
I disagree.
With what?
Not everybody got their shirts.
Everybody that I sent shirts to got them. So, yes, everybody did get their fucking shirts. I got to figure out this new iPad.
iPod. You got to break that learning curve. It can be steep.
Things a son of a bitch. For the Padded Room Podcast, my name is Darian. I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Take your sedatives.
I want to know how to survive.